And here's the button. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to StadiaCast. This is the show where we talk all about Google Stadia. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much, man. I got my blank packaging from Google recently, and I forgot to talk about it on the show.
What is that?
It's a box that has no markings on it, except if you go on the back, and then it has every language available.
All right, we're definitely really going to have to talk about that.
I was really confused when it came in, but this is all it is. It's the Ethernet adapter for the new Chromecast with Google TV. But when I ordered the Ethernet adapter, it came in a blank box, and I'm like, well, what the hell did Google just send me? I don't remember ordering anything. And then it was like, oh, yeah, I ordered that power adapter. And yeah, that's how it arrived. I haven't set it up yet. But it comes in a nondescript white box with like almost no markings on it. You wouldn't know it's a Google product if it didn't have the Google hologram right on the bottom of it.
So we will definitely be talking about why that's important later on in the show. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, if you are listening to the podcast in your favorite podcasting app and you want to check out the video show, then head on over to nerdnest.tv and click on subscribe. And then while you're there, watch a video or two and make sure you click all of the buttons because it really does help. If you want to listen to the or if you want to watch the show live, we do record the show every single Sunday morning at 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern. There's usually a few hundred people here, so get on over here and hang out with us, and we always have a lot of fun. If you are here with us live and you want to support the show, first off, click on that like button because it helps YouTube know that they should recommend this to other people. And then in addition to that, you can also click on the join button. You can click on the super chat button. There's all kinds of buttons that you can help out by checking out. And, you know, just look down below the video for buttons to click. If you're looking for like clothes that have like the Nerd Nest logo and stuff like that, all of that stuff is here as well. Let's start off the show the way that we always start off the show, by talking about what we have been playing. Lloyd, I'm going to let you go first. What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing a fair bit. The game that I am playing the most, and it's the same thing that I've really been talking about for the last little bit, is I've been playing a lot of Terraria. Sorry, I'm just trying to get my lighting just perfect. So if you're noticing,
it's perfect.
Things got bright. That was that. I've been playing a crap ton of Terraria with my daughter. We play almost every day. It is so much fun. We have officially done all the things in Terraria. We're going into master mode, I guess, would be the next stuff that you can do. But we've beaten all the bosses. We've gotten all the best items. We've gotten all the things. I've gotten all the achievements on Stadia. I'm almost done all the in-game achievements. It has just been a complete and utter joy playing. In fact, the final boss, the big boss with the two hands and the eyes and the heart, I'm not going to say what it is in case anybody doesn't want spoilers. We could beat that boss in 12 seconds,
wow.
Which is funny because the first battle with the boss took like 45 minutes of running back and healing and going in and all that stuff. We're so crazy overpowered right now. It is... It's been an absolute and utter joy to play Terraria. Thank you so much for bringing Terraria to Stadia. This has gotten me some amazing daddy-daughter time playing that game. That's mainly what I've been playing. I've also been playing a little bit of Outriders with my son, but the multiplayer on that is still not quite where it needs to be, so I think that's going to have to be shelved for a little bit. Terraria is the big one that I've been playing for this last week.
How many hours do you think you got in that game so far?
I can tell you exactly how many hours because Stadia tracks all that stuff. It's over 100 hours.
It's 3 weeks ago the game came out, or maybe it was a month.
It's about a month, I want to say. I'm just loading it up right now. I have 101 hours and 2 minutes in game.
Wow. The thing is that you had already played the game before it came to Stadia.
I have. I'm looking. March 18th was when the game must have come out, because that's when I got the No Hobo achievement, which is build a house, the first house that you build. So I would have done that right away when I first started the game. So it's been exactly a month.
Yeah,
exactly a month. I put 100 hours into Terraria, which is insane.
That is pretty good, pretty crazy. It just goes to show you that games that have really, really good gameplay will be able to draw you in no matter how many times that you've messed around with it. So that's really, really impressive. Holy cow. That's on average 25 hours a week, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been a couple weekends, including like Easter Sunday. I think we played entirely the whole day on Easter Sunday. So that was probably like 12 to 18 hours of gameplay that day, plus every other day, and playing a couple hours most nights and things like that. It adds up, but the weekends definitely are the bulk of that one. Who's it? Adam in the chat room saying it's Terraria of multiplayer. Yeah, it does. Multiplayer with other Stadia users only, because that's how all of their multiplayer goes across all the different versions of Terraria. So yeah, we've been playing that a lot, and a lot of the 100 hours is me basically sitting there just fishing and doing tasks when she's off doing other things. So there's probably 20 hours, which is just idle time where I'm in the game, but I'm not really playing the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a good 80 hours of like dungeon hunting and killing bosses and farming bosses over and over and over and over again. It's been a complete and utter joy. So I'm so happy this game came to Stadia.
That's fantastic. I need to spend a little bit more time with it. For me this week, I played very, very little. Earlier this week, I did a live stream where people were calling in on the Discord. If you haven't joined our Discord yet, go ahead and make sure that you click on the link in the description down below. We had this thing where I was in what's called the stage. I called it the arcade. And basically, I was answering people's questions, and then certain people would say, "Hey, I want to talk," and I would pull them up on the stage with me or into the arcade, and then we would have a conversation about video games. And like that's one of the reasons I didn't play as much this week is because I did that when I could have been playing. I did, however, play a little bit more Resident Evil 7. And I want to talk a little bit about streaming tech for just a second, because Lloyd and I both have these devices on our desk called the Go XLR, which is a very fancy mixer, which allows us to do a bunch of different things, which I'm not going to get into. But it finally had like this big firmware update that I was waiting a really, really long time for. And as part of this firmware update, they had changed a thing about where your inputs go. And so because I wasn't paying close enough attention, I started recording I was playing a little bit of Resident Evil 7. And what I do is I mute all of my channels, except for the microphone, so that none of the, like if somebody sends me a notification or something, it doesn't come through on the video. And so I opened up my recording software. I looked at the little audio meters. I said, test, test, test. And it was working. So then I hit the button and I muted everything, including my microphone. So then I'm going through and I'm playing the game. And the only, like I'm talking and you know, got all of this dialogue happening as I'm playing. But none of it got recorded. So then what I did is I said, oh, you know what? I'm just going to throw this away. And I hadn't quite, I was getting ready to delete it. And I said, you know what? I bet you I can salvage this. So I opened it up in my video editing software and I got it playing. And then I just talked over it, not trying to recreate what I said, but basically making fun of, okay, here comes this scary bit. Make sure you watch my face because I look like a moron when it happens. And I went through and I did that. And then I posted that and people really liked that. But man, Resident Evil 7, that game is fantastic. Now I've seen people saying that it takes about 9 hours to beat. And I've been playing it for probably about an hour. So I could finish this game before the next one comes out. It is possible. However, 9 hours, I think is unlikely because I move incredibly slowly when I play that game. As I'm moving through, I'm like, okay, I gotta stop. I gotta look behind me. I gotta look in front of me. I gotta look behind me again. And I gotta, you know, like I'm looking in every direction. I take 3 steps and I do it all again. It takes me forever. But man, what a fantastic game. I got to the first... I got to the first moment where they take control away from you so that they can really nail you with what's happening. And when that happened, like, it terrified me and was awesome. And I love what they're doing with the story. And I'm not going to spoil it for you. Although, if you want to know, check out the video. There might be a link in the description down below. I'm not sure. But if not, you just go to the channel and you can find it. That game is fantastic. And I love what they're doing with the duality of a character, of a certain character in it, is very, very interesting. And I'm only an hour in, so I'm excited to play more of it. And I'm very surprised, because when I played my first look of it, like, I even put it in a thumbnail. I said, this is my last look, because I'm never playing this again. Not because it's bad, but because it's too scary. But, you know, Resident Evil 8 Village on the way to Stadia got me excited to go back and try 7 again. And I'm very happy that I did. I've really been enjoying that game.
Yeah, Resident Evil 7 was such a fantastic title. I need to go back and watch the video of you playing, because it's always fun watching people that I know are very spooked when they play these types of games with a face cam. It just makes the whole experience that much better. So I'm glad. I do hope you give some more time to Resident Evil 7, because it does get really good. And it's essentially just a creepy puzzle game. Like, it's find the key that looks like a bird to put into this door to open this other thing. Mm-hmm. And I got a key that looks like a wheel. I gotta find the door that has a wheel on it. That's essentially what it devolves into. But it's tied up with just grime and grossness and just unease. And it was a great game to play through. I wouldn't recommend playing through it in VR because that hurts your brain. But playing through it on a normal screen would be a good thing, even if you are spooked by games very easily.
Another game that came out recently that you did a first look on is Cosmic Star Heroine. What are your thoughts on that one? Because you said that you've been playing a bunch of that this week too.
I've been playing a bit of it, not a bunch. I'm waiting for something specific. Hopefully I can talk about it next week and give my full thoughts on a certain thing that I'm purchasing because it's sitting in customs right now. So I was hopeful it would be here for today, but it isn't. And that's where I'm going to be playing through Cosmic Star Heroine. I've played about an hour. I really, really like this game. I love Super Nintendo RPGs. That's kind of like if I'm ever feeling bad, I can go back and play some Final Fantasy 2 or 3 or 4 and 6 or play some Chrono Trigger or whatever. Like, those games immediately bring a smile to my face because it's just great memories of playing in the past. And Cosmic Star Heroine is very much like that. It is a Super Nintendo. It looks like a game that existed on the Super Nintendo. Obviously, it's not running on Super Nintendo hardware, but it is a role-playing game that is very much like what you would expect on the good old SNES. So if you are a fan of old retro Super Nintendo games and you like RPGs, this is definitely one to check out. It's a decent price, and it is a fantastic game. So I've played just a little bit of it, and I want to play more, but I'm going to wait because I want to talk about something next week.
All right, so make sure you guys tune in next week to find out what cryptic thing Lloyd is talking about. I've forgotten all about the cryptic thing that you were talking about, but now I remember. So right. We'll find out more soon. All right, that's what we've been playing. Let's talk about the upcoming games, the games that are on their way to Stadia soon. Today's the 18th as we record this, and on April 23rd, Judgment is on its way to Stadia. Now, Judgment was originally, I believe it was a PS4 game, and this is the remastered version, is coming to basically all platforms, including Stadia. Looks pretty good, very reminiscent of a series that I have never played, which would be, oh my god, what's the series that I'm thinking of with the Japanese mob.
Yakuza?
Yeah, Yakuza. There we go. Very reminiscent from what I understand of the Yakuza series. And I've heard nothing but good things about Judgment. So that game coming to Stadia on April 23rd looks to be pretty great. And are you interested in this? This is from Sega, by the way. Is this a game that you're interested in at all?
I've always wanted to play the Yakuza games, and I've never played any Yakuza games. They're all available now on Xbox Series X through Game Pass, so I have no excuse now to not play them. But this is a spin-off of sorts, and it's a game that you don't really need to have played any of the other ones to enjoy. So I'm actually looking forward to this one. I think this is one that I'm going to want to play for sure. It looks great. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun to play as well. And I didn't play the initial release of this one either.
Yeah. And they say, like, right in the trailer that they have up on Twitter, they say specifically 60 frames per second. So I guess that this is a game that didn't run so well on the PS4 when it came out the first time around. And so the updated visual, not only does it have updated visuals, but it also is supposed to be running at 60 frames per second. We'll see if that happens on all of the platforms. But this is a game that's coming to PS5, Series X and S, and Stadia. So all of the next-gen platforms, and it is not coming to the Xbox One or the PS4, although it's already on the PS4 as the non-updated version. I think that this game looks really cool. And, you know, the thing about the Yakuza series, I didn't know that this was a spin-off. I just thought it was something that was in the same milieu, I guess. Right. For me, this is interesting because there's, like, I think there's 6 Yakuza games, and I'm not interested in going back and starting at the very beginning. And I don't know how important it is to understanding the story to go back through all of those games. So the idea that you can play this one, Judgment, as an easy jumping off point, that is very interesting to me as somebody who missed out on all of that stuff in the past. So I'm pretty interested in that. Another game that's coming on the 29th is Legend of the Keepers, and I don't know why I never heard of this game before, but it looks fantastic. It basically, you know, the 2D, what's the kind of games that I'm talking about? The 2D turn-based dungeon crawlers, that's what this looks like, except instead of being you delving into the dungeon, you are playing as the bad guys defending the dungeon. There's a lot of games that take this like that aspect where they say, all right, instead of being the good guys, you're being the bad guys. This one looks really cool, and I don't know that I've ever seen one where basically you are just defending against the heroes as they come in this particular style of gameplay. I love what they're showing in this video where you have a certain set of abilities that you can pick between. All right, this character can have, you know, this poison ability. This one can have this ice ability. Build your team and then defend it against people who are coming in. I think that sounds really cool. And the fact that you have all of these different monsters that you can be feels like that there is a lot of variety when it comes to the gameplay, whereas when you're playing as a hero, you tend to stick with the same characters throughout the entire game. And this feels like, all right, in this dungeon, you're going to be these guys. And in this place, you're going to be these guys. This is a game that's coming to Switch, Steam, and Stadia. I think it looks fantastic. Is this one that you're interested in at all?
It looks fun. I love these games like Overlord, was it Dungeon Keeper? There was another one that I'm trying to think of. I can't think of the name of that game. I love games that kind of twist the standard gameplay tropes on their head a little bit. Just kind of twist it. And this game definitely seems to be a little bit of that. It looks like it's not the most interesting game to watch, because you're essentially on a turn-based battle screen for most of the gameplay. But it also looks like it's incredibly fun. So I've watched trailers for this one. It seems like a heck of a lot of fun. And the fact that it's dungeon management crossed with like roguelite elements crossed with RPG, this kind of makes me very excited. So I'm eager to find out more about Legend of Keepers, a game that I really hadn't heard of, because it was initially a PC game, I believe, which I don't follow PC game releases as closely as I should.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same boat. I just kind of ignored it, and I was looking for things to talk about on the show today, and I clicked, and I was like, oh, this looks really good. And, of course, it also has that somewhere between 8 and 16-bit art style that, to me, is always incredibly compelling, especially as somebody who grew up through all of those generations of gaming. So I always find that to be a really compelling art style as well.
Yep.
All right, so those are the upcoming games. We have the Resident Evil 8 is on its way. Let's talk about Resident Evil 8. The demo, it's out now on PlayStation because Sony said, here's a bucket of money. But on all other platforms, there is going to be a demo for Resident Evil 8. I believe it's about a half an hour that you get to play for, and that's on May 1st. I'm very excited for this, especially because look, I'm not deep into the lore of the Resident Evil series, which is why at the beginning of the show, you were making a joke about like the T-virus or something. And I was like, is that a Resident Evil joke? I'm not super deep into the lore of the series. So, but people keep talking about, oh, this character's coming back and this character's coming back. And to me, I'm like, oh, I really am interested. I'm more interested now, even though I don't have that connection to these characters. I'm excited for everybody else being connected to these characters and having them all in the game. On May 1st, which is a Saturday, you're gonna be able to play the demo for the game. And by the way, I'm going to do a live stream of me playing the demo. So there's a link in the description down below. To that, I already created the live stream. Right now it's unlisted, but you can click it and say, remind me later when I go live. But I'm pretty excited about that, and I think it's awesome that we're getting the demo on Stadia as well. Are you pretty excited for that?
I am. I really want to see what Village is going to play like. I've seen the videos, like all the release video that they've released on this game. I've watched. I'm excited for this game, but there's nothing quite like getting in there for a small chunk of time and playing through to see whether it is going to be a Resident Evil 4 game, a Resident Evil 7 game, a Resident Evil 2 game. Obviously, it's not going to be 2 because they're the newer style of Resident Evil games are different from that. But just to see how it controls, I'm super excited about that. And of course, if you are on all the other platforms, you have to download a demo. You have to wait for the demo to unlock. You have to delete the demo when it's done. On Stadia, you just click a link and you play it. And then when it's not available anymore, the link just doesn't exist anymore. Such a cleaner way to get in there and experience this game. So I'm excited. I went into panic last night because I saw people on Twitter saying, oh, the 3-hour window for the demo just opened. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of a movie. I'm not gonna be able to play this. And I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have a PlayStation to play it on. Well, I have a PS4, but I'm not gonna bother. I'm just gonna wait for the Stadia version. But I was all panicking. I was like, I thought that was in May. And sure enough, it was. So May 1st will be an exciting day for me to jump into the world of Resident Evil Village and play the demo.
And for all of you folks out there that are interested in all of the Ks and all of the FPSs, apparently it runs Capcom has released a chart that tells you how the game runs on all of the different platforms, which I think is awesome because there's a lot of people who do care about that. Even if I personally don't care about frame rates and P's and K's and all that stuff, there are a lot of people who don't agree with me and they find that stuff to be incredibly important. And I think it's awesome that Capcom is putting that information out there. And I guess on Stadia, it will be running at 4K
60,
but that's with a variable resolution. So the resolution will increase and decrease depending on what's on the screen, which that's pretty common in most games these days. For the fact of the matter is that it's 60 frames per second. That's really the most important thing because the 60 frames per second means that you've got a nice, smooth, non-jittery kind of experience. If you're curious what it's like to, if you're not sure what we mean when we say like a non-jittery experience, try out Outrider.
Outriders is the shooter. Outcasters is the party game.
Right. Okay.
Team-based game.
Yeah. So try out Outriders because that has a horrible frame rate on Stadia. It's all over the place. And it, like, that's when it's real bad is when you have a frame. I'm fine with a stable 30 frames per second. I'm fine with a stable 60 frames per second. But when it wildly fluctuates up and down, and you know, you're hitting 30 frames per second, and then next thing you know, you're at 20 frames per second or 15 frames per second. That is really disruptive. I don't really care so much about the difference between 30 and 60, but when it's not stable, that's a big issue. And I like that they're saying, look, it's a stable frame rate on Stadia. And I have to say, this is using their new engine. And their new engine is incredibly impressive. If you have seen any of my gameplay of Monster Hunter Rise on the Nintendo Switch, it uses the new Resident Evil engine. That is the best looking game on the Switch. And everything that I've seen for Resident Evil 8 is absolutely gorgeous. So I think that whatever they've done with this engine, it's very, very impressive. And I think that we're going to see some pretty impressive visuals coming out of that engine.
Yeah, I agree. The games look fantastic. The biggest takeaway from this is the fact that they're bringing 4K 60 to Stadia is important. Most newer games that have come out, if you want to get 60 frames a second, you have to dial it back down to 1080p 60. So be able to get above 1080p and 60 frames a second is going to be huge. The image that they released with all the other consoles, it looks like PS5 and Xbox Series X are also 4K 60, but they didn't say dynamic resolution. I'd be very surprised if they didn't use a dynamic resolution just for things where there's a lot of explosions or a lot of things happening on screen, but mm-hmm. they didn't say that. And they did say it for Stadia. So it'll be interesting to see how that all kind of plays out. The demo will tell a lot of tales for sure about what the final game is going to look like. So I'm really excited to jump into that demo and see what it will do.
They also did say that if you turn on ray tracing for the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, you end up with 4K, but it drops down to 45 frames per second. Obviously, for some people, that's super important. For me, I'm not super interested in that, but I'm happy that they're being really, really transparent with that.
Yeah, I wish more developers did that, so that people didn't have to do like the pixel counting, which isn't entirely accurate because if you're using a dynamic resolution, 1 second to the next, you could have a vastly different resolution. So if you're doing pixel counting on a variable resolution game, you have to take snapshots from all around the game, not just the first 5 minutes of the game. You have to take snapshots of different scenes, different things, and then kind of average them all out to see what the highs and lows are. Having developers come right out and tell you that is definitely the better way for things to go. So hopefully that is this is the start of something that we get more of on Stadia. I'd love to see that.
I would like it more across the entire industry, honestly. I think that would be better. They did it this week in Stadia. You probably noticed that I didn't post it a video about it on Tuesday. That's because they didn't give us any new information to really talk about. So I'm just going to remind everybody that Floor Kids and Darkside Detective were the games that they were talking about on this week in Stadia. Then they mentioned the Stadia Pro deals, which I'm opening up right now to see if there's anything that jumps out as a really, really good deal. The problem with this is I'm signed in, and so the games that I own, I can't see how much they cost, which is always frustrating to me. But sure. If you take a look, you got Assassin's Creed Origins for $12. The deluxe edition is $14, so obviously you would go with the gold edition is $20. I have to say, Ubisoft games are always on sale, like all the mm-hmm. time. They're always on sale. I cannot imagine paying $60 for an Ubisoft game. If you just wait 15 minutes, it's going to be on sale. They're always on sale. Anything in here that's jumping out to you as a game that people need to pick up while it's on sale?
Not really. Just the fact that all these are available on Ubisoft Plus. If you are in the US and you have access to Ubisoft Plus, you could just jump in and play it for your $15 or whatever it is for Ubisoft Plus. It's not available up here in Canada, so I haven't really looked into it. I mean, Ubisoft Plus is the Stadia version of that isn't available in Canada yet. But if you're looking for a game that you want to own, the Crew Deluxe Edition is on for $20 Canadian. I'm not sure what that is in US, probably $15 or whatever. The Crew 2 Deluxe Edition, I think you just scrolled right past that. So that is a fantastic game. It's a game that I jump into every once in a while just to fly around and do a couple races. It's a fantastic title. And to get the Deluxe Edition, which comes with a bunch of unlocked boats and cars and trucks and bikes and you name it, for free, and planes, of course, or not for free, but without having to unlock them in game, makes it just is super easy to get in there and experience the awesome visuals and then bounce out when you're done flying around.
That's right. Speaking of things that are on sale, now I don't know if this is available in other areas, but right now the Stadia Premier Edition is on sale, $30 off. It is $70 right now in the US for the Stadia Premier Edition. That's the Stadia controller, the white one, and it comes with the Chromecast Ultra, which is, you hook it up to your TV, and that also has the Ethernet port so that you can have the best possible connection for your Chromecast Ultra if you have Ethernet near your TV.
Right.
And honestly, right now, for me, that's the recommended way of playing is using a Chromecast Ultra until they update the Sabrina thing. Do you know if it is it on sale in Canada? Is it not?
It is not.
Oh, so this is a U.S. only deal. My guess, and it seems like it's time to transition to this discussion. My guess is that this is to further clear out inventory, so that they can make room for the Sabrina version. That doesn't mean that you're getting a bad deal or anything. But they're trying to clear out inventory to get rid of these so that they can. This is a guess on our part, so that they can bring out the Google TV version of the same exact thing, which is basically a Chromecast that has a remote with Android TV built in, so you can just use a remote instead of using your phone in order to start things. And we've got some more, they've been giving that away through the Resident Evil 8 deal. They gave them away through the Cyberpunk deal. They've been really quickly liquidating all of the old Chromecast Ultra bundles, the Premier Edition bundles. And Lloyd and I have been guessing that they're doing this so that they can put the Stadia controller in with a Google TV instead of a Chromecast Ultra and sell that as the new bundle. And there's more information that leads us to believe this, because in the Android version of Stadia 3.12, they are talking about Google TV in that version. So it should be coming sooner. Sure. What do you think, Lloyd?
Yeah, before we get into the 3.12 teardown, if you go to the Canadian Google store, the Premier Edition is out of stock. You can't even buy a Premier Edition. So it does not exist in Canada. We're also not part of the Resident Evil Village giveaway. So instead of spending $69.99 for the Premier Edition, just pre-order Resident Evil for $59.99. You save $10. You still get your Premier Edition. You just get it a little bit later. That would be my recommendation for people in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But that's not even available in Canada. So yeah, it just means that they're out of these things. They're trying to get rid of all of these boxed Premier Editions. In my mind, that this is what it is. Obviously, we don't have any insider knowledge. And when they're fully sold out, when Resident Evil has come out, when they've shipped out all of the free Stadia Premier Editions, the new Premier Edition is going to be a Sabrina with a controller, would be my guess. But the fact that this isn't even available in Canada just leads me even more to believe that this is the case, that this isn't coming back for stock, and they're going to be stocking with the new, what they want as their new Chromecast to be out in the market, which is the Sabrina Google TV with Chromecast.
Yeah, somebody in chat, Gandra in chat, saying, is Sabrina actually better hardware than the Chromecast Ultra? I have no idea. Is it?
Yeah, because the current Chromecast, all it does is receives streams from places. It doesn't have a beefy CPU. The Sabrina has a beefier SoC. It supports more features, and it actually runs an OS. It's not just a very slim thing that is just sitting there to receive commands from your phone or from the cloud. So yeah, it is a much better piece of hardware. Not much, much better, but it is much better, a much better piece of hardware. So hopefully this will last for a number of years before they upgrade it yet again.
Mm-hmm. So, well, like we were saying, 3.12 of the Android version of Google Stadia has some stuff that's been picked apart by 9to5 Google. And one of the things that they have to say in there, they find like error messages and things like that that are programmed in, and then they find that stuff. And it says here, your Stadia controller won't open the Google Assistant when you're playing on a Google TV. They also say for Google TVs, use the remote to access the Google Assistant, which first off, that's annoying. I think that that's like the wrong way to go about it. If I have a thing in my hand that has the button to do that, let me just use that button. But okay, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, it's probably a limitation. This is probably for actual TVs that have Chromecast built into it, or Google TV built into it. So not the new Android TV devices that will support the actual physical button. This is probably older hardware that is hardware limited. There might be some sort of limitation for how it can bring up that menu. Tying it to a button that is connected to Wi-Fi, there might not be that communication between the Stadia Blade and the OS to bring up that slide across or slide out menu. So hopefully in the future, they'll be able to fix that. But to me, it seems like a really good Band-Aid. Don't not ship this for everybody just because it doesn't work in one instance very well. And then you can work at getting it working in that instance better down the road.
I don't know. I think that this is specifically talking about the Sabrina thing, because they're talking. Nope. Yeah, because they say use the Google Assistant when you're on your Google TV. Use the remote to access the assistant, and the remote on the Google TV has a Google Assistant button on it.
Yeah, but the Sabrina, don't they call it Android TV, not Google TV?
No, it's
Android
Google TV. That's why the acronym that everybody puts is the GTV with Chrome, or whatever it is. It's not Android TV. Android TV is this is Android TV, whatever they want to say, but they call it Google TV. The Sabrina thing is Google TV.
Okay, so then it's going to apply for the Sabrina things, and that's probably why it didn't ship at launch. They wanted to try to figure it out, and it didn't. Either way, it's a limitation, probably based on the fact that everything is running in the cloud. And there isn't the crosstalk between your controlling device and what's happening on the Blade. Eventually that will get sorted out.
I'm sure.
I would imagine, but yeah, it is going to be annoying for the first little bit. The good thing is you can just, if it is running with a speaker, you can just talk to your Google device and say, Hey, bring up a menu, or hey, start a different game, or hey, do something else, without saying out those code words that is going to make everybody's devices in their house stop and do random things.
Absolutely. They also have this other bit of text. It says the Stadia app is not optimized for this TV. You may have game performance issues while playing. I'm not sure what they mean by that. I hope that is something to do with what you were talking about, where it's just built into TVs and not the Google TV thing, because that's kind of weird to me. They also talked about that another thing that they uncovered in this version is that it seems like they're updating the rewards that you get for inviting a friend. Yeah. Referrals.
They're offering rewards, not just free months, which is an interesting change from the way they've done it in the past.
Yeah, so you can refer your friends to get rewards, and I guess based on the number of people who you've invited, you will have different avatars that are available to you. There's one where it has like the pro logo. There's another one that has the logo with the little Stadia controller on it, and then there's one. Yeah. With it's like hand drawn and very adorable as well. So there's that. I don't really care about this, but cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's awesome. You refer your friends, you get free months, but depending on the number of friends that you refer, you get other stuff. Depending on how they unlock them, of course. I'm assuming that the avatar would be first, and you get a free month plus an avatar, I would think, on your first referral. And then you refer two people, you get a 50% off coupon for your Stadia controller and a free month. And then if you unlock a third one, you get extra stuff, unless they're taking away the free month for the first couple referrals. We'll know more when this actually ships and is in production. But offering a cheap controller is a really good thing. Hopefully this is both you and the person you refer get a 50% off controller, because then that would be a good way to get more Stadia controllers out into the public.
Absolutely. And yeah, I was referring to the avatars I don't really care about, but the discount on controllers would be good for somebody who's not like me, because I have like a billion Stadia controllers laying around from all the different deals that I've taken advantage of. And I'm about to have yet another white Stadia controller in my house, because I pre-ordered Resident Evil 8. So I'll end up with another one. But you know what? I'm not complaining, because you can always use more controllers. Absolutely.
You can. You definitely can. I just wish we could get the access to that in Canada, because I would have had another one coming to my house as well. But wah, wah, that's not the case. I'll wait for my 50% off.
All right. So you know what? There's a game that I think a lot of people were pretty excited about for Google Stadia. And I've heard nothing but bad things about the Stadia version of Disco Elysium. I guess that there are game-breaking bugs in it, and the developers are not super responsive to the customers who are asking them about it. Not so much so that people are reaching out to Google, and Google's like, oh man, that sucks. We're going to reach out to our partners, whoever's in charge of Disco Elysium, and ask them what's going on, and we will get back to you. But I guess overall, it's kind of a bad port. And I want to say that there's a lot of people who say that the Stadia hardware is kind of junk or whatever. And I think that's because we see some bad ports on Stadia. And there's a couple of reasons for that to happen. First off, it's different hardware. So people are developers are learning how to utilize it. And that means it's going to take a little more time for them to get good at dealing with the particular hardware that we're using. We see it at the beginning of every console generation. By the end of the generation, they are incredibly good at optimizing things and getting things to work well. Another reason is because it's a new platform, a lot of devs will rush to get their stuff done so that, you know, they can kind of bask in the limelight of not having as much competition. And I'm not saying that that's what these people are doing, but, you know, you get your game out quick so you can make a quick buck. And you don't do all of the quality control stuff that you should. So there's another reason why it would be not the best port. And then the third reason why it might not be the best port is because getting, like, taking members of your team, which are supposed to be working on the next game, and saying, hey, go back and work on the last game with like a skeleton crew to port it to this other system. But you got to work fast because we're trying to work on our next game. That all of those reasons are reasons why you would have not so great ports of games from other platforms coming to Google Stadia. The idea that this has game-breaking bugs is pretty bad, especially because some of these game-breaking bugs happen after the two-hour mark, which means that Google, like right now, you can return a game if you played it for less than 2 hours, but you know, now you have, like, it's super easy to do. So you just click a button and you get your money back, and they pull the game out of your inventory. You can't do it quite as easily if this game-breaking bug happens after that two-hour mark, and that's kind of a problem. What do you think about this, Lloyd? I know that you were kind of excited for Disco Elysium, and you've held off, right?
Yeah, sorry, trying to get my thoughts out here before you got too deep, because I could have cut you off right at the start and say that the reason why, where there's issues on Stadia, it's not problems with Stadia. What it is time. Developers have been working on PlayStation, Xbox, PC, and Nintendo hardware for decades. The hardware hasn't changed. The development systems, the hardware has changed. The hardware hasn't changed much. The tool chain that you use to set up to develop games hasn't changed that much over this time. And a lot of the knowledge that you would have, either from working on the hardware or having colleagues in the industry that have worked on the hardware, means that if you have a bug where, hey guys, every third or every 30th frame, there's a two frame lag. What's causing this? And everyone's like, oh yeah, that's an issue with this part of the PS4 SDK. You just have to do this, blah, and it's fixed. You don't have that on Stadia because it's only been out for a year, and there's not a lot of developers that have a full year's knowledge of working on the Stadia hardware, because there's a lot of port teams. There's a lot of developers that have brought games to Stadia that have never touched Stadia code because other teams and other companies have worked on that port for them. So a lot of this stuff will go over in time. It doesn't mean that there's an issue with Stadia. It just means that this is it's a new development environment. You're writing for a new hardware, new OS, new everything. A cloud-based gaming is also new to a lot of developers. So all that stuff will get fixed in time. But it is really disappointing that Outriders has problems. We haven't heard from the Outriders devs at all as to what is happening. Google is doing what Google can do, saying, yep, we're talking with the teams. We'll let you know when we know more. Obviously, they don't know more.
Well, actually, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. For the Outriders thing, they have responded. They said... Right. The inventory wiping bug was this huge problem, and they said all hands are on deck to fix that. And they pulled everybody off the Stadia fix to fix the inventory wiping thing,
and, which we don't even have on Stadia.
right. But
that came in version 1.1. We're still at version 1.0 or whatever the thing is.
So, but, do you think we'll get the bug when we get up 1.1?
Hopefully they patch us up to the bug, and then they can fix that bug. But anyway, there's issues with Outriders at launch. It took weeks to get any sort of communication back from Square Enix on that. Disco Elysium's been out for 3 weeks, 2 weeks now. We've heard nothing from them. There needs to be more communication from developers. The Stadia communication is great. Grace and her team and everybody that works in PR and marketing will come up and say, yep, there's an issue. We're talking to our partners. The partners need to talk more. So I don't know what is causing that delay, but that needs to kind of go away. And hopefully when that happens, a lot of these issues will just disappear. But time will take us to the point where we'll stop having so many of these issues with games at launch. Like shipping with a game-breaking bug in this day and age is just unbelievable to me, because there's game testers, there's process to make sure that this doesn't happen. But I'm assuming that some of these ports aren't going through a full QA, a full QA release like they would for the initial releases on other platforms.
Right, because they already went through all of the QA, so maybe the devs or the publishers are saying, well, you know, we already got all that stuff. Now that it's running, it should be fine. They push it, and they don't realize that they've introduced, like, all of these new bugs because they're on a new platform. They should have done better QA. And for some reason, instead of blaming the devs or the publishers, I don't like to blame the devs because I know that they're working as hard as they can, and the publishers are the ones that decide when the game comes out. But instead of blaming those publishers, you know, everybody blames Google, and it's not really their fault. I mean, I suppose they could be a little more stringent in saying, hey, you didn't hit all of these quality control measures. Like, you look at Nintendo in the past, and Nintendo is like one of the hardest platforms to get like your game running on, because Nintendo is so they rule that with an iron fist. You are not putting that out on our system with all of these bugs. Go back to the drawing board. Maybe Stadia needs to be a little more like that. Maybe that would help if they were like, no, you can't put it out. But then at the same time, would that push publishers and devs away to where they're like, well, I'm not going to try and put it to Stadia. It's too much work. We can't. So I don't know. The one thing that I will say, and then I'll let you talk, Lloyd, is as we get away from the porting of old games to Stadia, and now we're just working on new games coming to Stadia, I think a lot of that won't be an issue.
Yeah, hopefully there's going to be a lot more development done in parallel instead of the afterthought where they get the initial engine running on Stadia, then they wait for the game to go gold on other platforms, and then they receive all that data and do the port and make sure that it's running. It would be nice if, like what Nintendo does, they do something called lot check, where if you want to submit your game to the Switch store, you have to submit it. It gets approved, similar to what Apple does or Google does on their mobile stores, where an app is made sure to run. I don't know if that isn't done as stringently on Stadia, and maybe that needs to change a little bit, but I just, for me, it's the communication. If there is an issue with your game and people are asking questions and being silent for 2 weeks just looks so bad from the publisher. And then people are then taking that issue with the publisher and putting it on Stadia's doorstep, where it really isn't a Stadia issue. It's a game that is on their platform. And of course, they're really excited about getting it working, and they're really keen to talk to the developers. But if the developers and publishers aren't coming out with this is what's happening, we're on it, we're planning a patch in a couple weeks, but we'll let you know more, if they're just being completely silent, it looks bad for everybody involved. So I hope we get a lot less of that as kind of the months and years go on here on Stadia.
Yeah, Super Jeff in chat says the Outrider performance issues are not acceptable from a big dev like Square Enix. Look, I don't know if Square Enix owns People Can Fly, but People Can Fly is the devs. Square Enix is the publisher. Just to make sure that just to clear that up. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not acceptable from any dev. It used to be that you released your game when it was ready, and it's far too common these days, and in the past couple of decades, honestly, them to release games and say, well, we'll patch it after the fact. And that's really on the publisher. And what I like to pejoratively refer to as the suits, you know, the people who make the decisions, who don't do any of the work, they make these decisions. And then the devs are like, well, okay, I guess we'll hit that date, but it's not going to be the way that you want it. And that's the kind of thing that is always a problem. Anyway, moving on from that, I do hope that that game gets fixed, because I've heard nothing but good things about the game. Just the port is not so hot.
Yep, definitely.
Let's move on to CrowdPlay. We've got a couple of super chats that came in while we were talking about stuff. So if you have thoughts and you absolutely want us to make sure that we see those thoughts, use the super chat feature. Not only does it make sure that we see what you have to say, we respond to each and every super chat, but it also supports the show. So the first one came in. Well, first off, Olafur Arison became a member, so thank you very much for that. But then Andreas Newman sent in a super chat. They said, shouldn't Stadia sell some games as individual apps on the Play Store? Another entry into Stadia. People know what FIFA is, not Stadia. Nintendo is selling cloud games like that in a 10-minute trial. So I'm not sure what you mean by the Nintendo part, but when we're talking about putting something on the Play Store, like if it's on the Play Store and people are like, they're looking for a game to play, and then suddenly they see FIFA on there, or you know, a better example would be like Red Dead Redemption, because I don't know if there's a version of FIFA on Android or whatever, but there's definitely not a Red Dead Redemption on Android. And if they could just look through their phone and they see Red Dead Redemption and they're like, what the hell? I've heard nothing but fantastic things about this, but I don't have an Xbox or a PlayStation or a PC. And now I get the chance to play this game? Bye. And what they don't realize is that they're playing on Stadia. Of course, you have to make sure that you are upfront as far as, hey, everybody, you need a really solid internet connection to do this. But I don't think that that's necessarily a bad idea. What do you think about that idea, Lloyd?
I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I think that would be good. Basically what Andreas is saying is take an app like Red Dead. Well, it's not an app because it's running in the cloud, but we'll say you take an app, you say that it's wrapped up in a Stadia wrapper. So when you buy it, you're just buying a push to start this game on Stadia, linked to your Google Play account. that would make total sense. The only issue would be, like you said, Bill, letting people know what they're actually buying. They're not buying a game. They're buying a streamed version of this game that you have to have always online. There's data requirements. There's all this other stuff. So they'd have to pop up the proper warnings and things like that. The only other issue that I could see is when you then take an app, let's use Cosmic Star Heroine as an example. You take the Stadia version and put it on the store and it's $15. And then you look at whatever the Android version and it's like $3. How would you sell the Stadia version when there's two versions on the store? So there'd be a lot of kind of sticker shock issues you'd have to go through because people are used to paying nothing or very little on mobile devices. So there'd be some education that has to happen there. Obviously not the end of the world, but there's just another thing to note. But yeah, I think the data requirements would be the issue. What he was referring to about the Nintendo stuff is Nintendo selling games that have a cloud backend, right? Like Control and all that stuff, where Nintendo isn't running the cloud servers. So Nintendo isn't doing cloud streaming yet, but right. they're allowing a third party company to sell games, or other publishers to use that third party company to then sell the games on the store. But they say data charges may apply. You need to be always online. You're not downloading this game. Nintendo is very upfront with that on their store. So as long as Google is the same, that would be a great way to get a lot more of the Stadia games, knowledge of those Stadia games rather, in front of other people that are already using Google Play all the time.
And you know, one of the reasons that Apple said you can't put the Stadia on iOS was because they wanted to be able to do like a rating for each game, because basically on iOS they have like an age rating that is recommended on every single app that is on the App Store. That would allow Google to do that as well. If they could put out Red Dead Redemption 2 on iOS through Google Stadia. And yep. It would also, like, I don't think that they will, but they could. And what do you think is better for Google, to be able to sell those games on iOS in the App Store and in the Play Store, or just making sure that everybody's kind of in the Stadia app when they want to play a game? What do you think is better for Google?
Well, for Google, definitely not having individual apps on the iOS App Store would be a benefit, because they don't want to give Apple the 30% cut, right, and 30%. Then they take another 30% cut, right? Travi J in the chat room says, why do they have to do that when it's a known fact that you need Wi-Fi for Stadia? They shouldn't have to state it again. And this is in regards to us saying that they need to have warnings if you buy an app on Android. Well, it's not widely known that you need Wi-Fi for Stadia. It is if you're a Stadia user. If you go to stadia.google.com and you read through all the terms and conditions and you know about what you're signing up for, of course you know it's for Stadia. But if you just see Red Dead Redemption on your phone, you don't know that it's coming from Stadia, even if it says powered by Stadia, because the world doesn't know what Stadia is unless you're knowledgeable about the market. So no, they definitely need to have warnings. Otherwise, yeah. People are expecting to download Red Dead to their phone and play it while they're in the middle of the forest somewhere, which isn't going to work. So no, they definitely need warnings, Travi, because not everybody knows what Stadia is. This would be a good way for them on Android to further... I don't know, shed light on the existence of Stadia, but I don't think that same thing would work on other stores. Like on iOS, giving up 30% to then take another 30% might be too much for Google, yeah, or the publishers to do.
Yeah, and I will say that you just gave me a great idea for like a sponsored video for like Jablinski Games, of Jack Black riding through the woods on a horse playing Red Dead Redemption 2 on Google Stadia on his phone at the same time. Like, Google, that'd be great. That one's free. Just go, yep, give Jack Black money. And, you know, I wouldn't mind a cut, too, since it was my idea. All right. Moving on to a question from Anthony Talcott. He says, really liked the Discord, the arcade chat room you guys set up. Makes it easier to listen while working. Also, really like the raise hand to speak feature. Should Stadia do the same for a live stream? I'm struggling to understand what they mean by should Stadia do the same. If I'm playing with people Like if I'm playing a game with some friends, I don't need them to raise their hand to speak because like we're all playing a game together. For it makes a lot of sense for the Discord arcade thing that I was doing, because I don't necessarily know what people are going to say, and it gives me a chance to really more control the environment. It also means that not everybody's talking at the same time. You've seen me and Lloyd interrupt each other a couple of times in this show just because there's a slight delay when you are talking. And on Discord, you can't see each other. So even like there's a lot more interruption that happens when you can't see each other and there's a slight delay, because people hear, they think Bill, like Lloyd thinks Bill is about to finish his sentence. I'm going to jump in with my thoughts so that there's not dead air. And then he jumps in and I still had a little bit more to do, or it goes back the other way. So I don't know that Stadia should do the same for a live stream, but I'm glad that you enjoyed the arcade because I had fun doing it, and I'm going to do more in the future. What do you think, Lloyd?
I think, obviously, I'm not going to speak for Anthony, but I think what he's talking about is the when you're doing live streams and you're doing like crowd play and you're bringing people into your game, having kind of like a hands up and having like a little view that you would see that Anthony wants to get in your game, Lloyd wants to get in your game, and these five randos that you don't recognize want to get in your game. And then you could just click one or the other to bring it in. That would be a great feature.
So, okay, now I understand. For when I'm on YouTube, not for, well, he said live stream, and I thought, well, we're streaming Stadia, so it's always streaming. So he was talking about playing games. Yes, that makes total sense. I think that would be great as a feature for streamers, giving you the option to do the exact same thing that we do with crowd play, but having the raised hands. Anthony gets a cut of that, Google. That's his idea. Give Anthony a cut, and then he'll use it to buy all of the things, because he buys all of the things. You very much for the support, Anthony. You are awesome. And then speaking of support, Sukotronic, just like Clockwork, sent in a super chat as well. Man, you guys are fantastic. I really do. We appreciate you. We had some things that people wanted us to talk about on the show. But we're already at an hour, so I'm going to lightning round these topics that people sent in on Twitter. Just your quick answers to these questions. Are you ready, Lloyd?
I am.
All right, here we go. F1 2021 coming to Stadia or not?
I assume it's coming to Stadia. Why would it not come to Stadia?
It's been announced for every other platform except for Stadia.
I would think, like, we've seen this so many times in the past where Stadia doesn't get the little logo on a trailer, and then 3 weeks later we find out that it is coming to Stadia, and it's a trailer that is on Google's YouTube or Stadia's YouTube channel. I would think there would be something like that, but until it's announced, you never know.
All right. Why no native 4K 60 with Resident Evil 8?
Because I'm assuming that the hardware on Gen 1 Blades isn't up to speed with the hardware that is on the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X.
All right. What do you think about Stadia communication? Is it better than it used to be, or what do you think?
Stadia's communication is perfect, almost perfect. When Google has a problem and they address it, when their PR people get out and put out the news, the blog releases that have been coming out instead of once a week, multiple times a week, is fantastic. Now there needs to be some work between publishers, developers, and their communication for stuff that is released on Stadia. That needs some heavy work based on Outriders and Disco Elysium as things that have happened recently that have said that this is an issue.
All right. I agree with everything that Lloyd said. Then we have Ricardo Batho asked, what happened with the Mafia series announced way back when? That is an incredible question. It was announced forever ago, and like it's been silence. What do you think?
Yeah.
Is it coming?
I hope it's coming. I really want to play the Mafia games over again. I loved Mafia 1 when I first played it. Playing a remake of that or a remaster of that would be fantastic. All the Mafia games are fantastic. I don't understand why they would come so quickly to say that it's coming, and then we hear crickets after that. So I don't know. Maybe that the project's been canceled. Hopefully the publishers will will clear that up at some point. It's not Google's responsibility to clear that up, since they're partnering with the developers that are bringing that game. Hopefully those developers or the publishers of those games will come out and say something about it at some time in the near future.
Lloyd doesn't understand how lightning round works. I'm just letting everybody know. Finally, Anthony Garcia, he says, what does this mean about other Resident Evil games coming to Stadia and other big Capcom franchises? I've said a million times on the show, bring me Monster Hunter, bring me Mega Man, bring me all of the old Capcom games, bring us Street Fighter, and of course the other Resident Evil games. But if you could pick just one Resident Evil game that is not on Google Stadia and it, we don't know is coming to Google Stadia, what would you pick, Lloyd?
Number 2 Remake.
All right, there you go. That's it for this episode of StadiaCast. Thank you very much, everybody, for hanging out with us. Thank you to everybody who became members or joined us with the Super Chats. You are all fantastic people. We are out of here, and we will see you next time. Say goodbye, Lloyd.
Goodbye, Lloyd.